this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
Oh man. Where are you? Corsair, where are you? Corsair,
oh, what's going on?
Oh, gads, NASA nerd. Oh, you startled me there. Okay.
What's up?
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
siren. Right,
Okay.
Oh. TARDIS, sirens off, please. Turn off that crazy noise.
Oh. Oh my God.
Okay.
I don't think I saw it.
Has anybody seen the Corsair?
No.
I thought I saw her down that last corridor on the right-hand side, but I can't be sure.
Okay, we got a breach. There's something in here. It's like some weird, crazy purple...
That was an intruder alert.
Wait a minute! There's a Corsair! It's running down that... Corsair!
Corsair!
Come here! Corsair! Okay, Corsair, what's going on?
Oh, God, the TARDIS translation circuit must be switched on to peanuts again!
I hate when that...
Is that the Antarian laryngitis again? Okay, Corsair, what's in here? It's purple, okay? You're not making sense. Is the TARDIS translating? Did you hear something about a cloud?
I heard something about being lumpy.
I heard something about lumps, definitely.
Wait a minute, come back!
Corsair!
What?
Corsair, come back!
What the heck is that?
Corsair, oh my God, what are you doing here? Where is the Corsair?
Who are you?
I am Lumpy Space Princess, and I am going after my true love, the Corsair.
Oh, no. Okay, well, Miss Lump.
Have we gone into Toon Space again?
That is Lumpy Space Princess to you.
Okay, Princess, she went down that-a-way.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes,
absolutely that way.
Yes.
Cross our hearts.
That's not some kind
and
of trick.
Four,
is it?
Count them. No, absolutely go.
You have our word as Corsair tears.
Okay.
Alright then. Okay. Alright. I'll catch you guys later. Just keep off these lumps, okay? Corsair! Corsair! Come back! You can't deny our love!
What the
heck
is
that
going on?
Thing?
I don't know.
What was that? A purple cloud of noxious gas.
Yeah, but did you catch those lumps?
What? There.
Dude, guys?
Dude, can do you know where the bathroom is in here?
What? How'd you get in here?
Okay, what is that?
Well, what are you?
Who's that behind you?
Okay, how did you skinny, emaciated nerds get in here?
Doris.
She called us nerds.
Door was open, so we just... walked in, you know, I just wanted to find a place to, you know,
we're in space! How can you just walk in here?
There's no air out there! You just can't walk in!
I thought this was an outhouse.
Yeah.
So we came in and take a... Anyway, look, you can't be in here. Okay, NASA nerd, you gotta escort these
hey, wait,
teenagers
guys,
out of here.
This way!
Just
follow me. We can't be in here. This is controlled.
I don't even know you. Why are you like...
Oh, that's not cool.
Okay, we'll see you in a second there, awful husband. Just get these two pubescent scrawny guys out of here, okay?
I got some music videos. Come this way.
Wait.
She said pube.
She said ass. That's cool.
She didn't say ass butt munch. She said pube.
Okay, guys, watch your language and get over here. We'll figure out how to get you home.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. What's that?
The Mark of the Corsair. Fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl.
And so are we.
And our innumerable guests, what the heck is going on here? Corsair, are we in Toon Space? Oh, that explains it.
And seriously, can you please fix the TARDIS translation circuit? Because Time Siren is the only one of us that speaks peanut.
Yeah.
Can you at least keep us in our universe?
Now, that's kind of nostalgic. I mean, Peanut's parents from the cartoon series.
Yeah. Anyway, you are in the Toontastic Corsair's Closet. I am the Mad Woman with a Box. She is the Time Siren, a.k.a. our Peanuts translator. And he is the NASA Nerd, a.k.a. the Awful Husband.
Hello. And that's the Corsair.
Of course.
Yes. So glad you could be with us today, Corsair. We'll have Time Siren translate as needed, but just sit back, relax, you can see how this gets done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is exciting. We've never had the Corsair and actually on the show before.
Actually had, like, a bleed over of, like, Cartoon Network weirdness and Comedy Central Beavis and Butt-headedness.
Yeah, well, that's actually MTV weirdness.
I'm
right there.
Really scared here right now. What the heck else is going to show up?
I know, right?
I hope Ice King doesn't show up. Please tell me he's not around. If you start seeing, like, ice crystals, run.
Yeah,
just
penguins.
Run.
Seriously.
Penguins, you know, one time, and I caught this on a recent rerun of Adventure Time. Okay, we're going to adjourn down the corridor. Run! Okay, did we lose it?
I think so.
Okay.
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 At least it wasn't wearing Ice King's crown, so we're safe.
Oh, man. Or his evil eye amulet.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's problematic, too.
Marceline's dad, in an episode, he's loose on Earth because Finn accidentally lets him into our plane of existence. He runs across Gunter and says, "You are by far the most evil creature I have ever seen. You will serve me." And then Gunter goes, "Wah, wah, 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 wah," or however he does it. And Marceline's dad says, "No, I'm not going to serve you."
Oh, Gunter.
So there's a lot that we don't know about Gunter.
Diabolical Gunter.
Looks like Pepperton Butler. What is up with him?
Oh.
Seriously.
And you know the Gumball Guardian knows about Pepperton Butler's evil magics.
Yes.
Seriously.
And poor Cinnamon Bun, he goes getting him possessed by a demon. I mean, come on.
I know, right? Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg for what we have to talk about today. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yes.
Why don't we start there with, we had our kickoff, you know, pre-game special for the premieres of all the really awesome Cartoon Network shows, like Regular
Yay!
Show and Adventure Time and Gumball. So now we can kind of review those episodes and give some fun facts. I actually have some interesting stuff to share on the Adventure Time front.
Oh.
Ooh, neat.
So why don't we start with the reviews then?
Okay.
Amazing World of Gumball. Did you guys catch that one?
Oh, yes, we did.
We saw that while we were on vacation in San Luis Obispo. I got to tell you, it was perfect. But people don't get it. Either that or there are prepubescent kids on Twitter who had to ask, why did you change Gumball's voice? And NASA nerd, you know why.
Well, this is something I was explaining in one of our earlier podcasts, that traditionally when you do a TV series with kids, you don't get kids to do their voices because they grew up and their voices change.
Yeah.
So, geez, guess what happened to Gumball and Darwin during the break?
I'm guessing that either between seasons their voices change, or maybe toward the end of the season and the writers had to deal with it.
Yeah.
So they came up with a great episode for it.
Yeah,
I love it.
And a perfect way to recast them. And frankly,
yes.
I think the new voices actually sound pretty close to the originals.
Are they a new cast? They're not the original kids?
I think they're the original kids.
Are they?
The kids are growing up.
Well, they sound just slightly different, and it's mostly in Gumball. I think he really must be the older of the two actors.
Is, yeah.
But, yeah, if you listen, it's just a little bit more mature, the same voice. But I love that part where Gumball goes, "Our voices are broke!"
And, yeah,
like,
seriously.
Whole house
at the beginning of the episode, they both sound deeper. But by the end of the episode, when their voices are done changing, they even comment, they actually sound younger. So I think maybe they recast
them. And you want to talk about guest voices. In all of the myriad voices that Gumball does when his voice starts changing, Michael Dorn's voice is in there.
Michael Dorn's voice is in there?
He channels Klingon.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's not speaking Klingon, but it's Michael Dorn's voice. I would know that sexy black man's voice anyway.
I didn't even spot that.
You know that voice better than I do.
I know that he's done voices on a regular show before, but I didn't catch it on Gumball.
One sentence, he channels, Gumball channels him for like one sentence.
Wow.
Because Gumball's voice is all over the place.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that episode then because of reasons.
Yeah, but it was a fun. It was a fairly fun episode.
Yeah, that was very cute. And then the one with the ice cream cone was very cute too.
That reminded me of like Crazy Stalker fans. I've had a couple of those in my life. And
They were dealing with her fan fiction of Gumball and Darwin. That was pretty fun.
You know, you got to know these writers are familiar with the fan culture.
Yeah.
Well, just even growing up, you know, when you have your bunch of friends and somebody tries really just too hard to be part of your group.
Yeah.
And if they just relaxed, you'd probably like them.
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
No. Gads. Okay, so what guest voices have you found, Madwoman?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while now. One of the things I love about Adventure Time is that they get the most random, most amazing guest voices on the show. And if you pay attention, you can catch them. But some of them just, they come out of nowhere. I did find a couple articles online about various guest voices that have been on the show. I'm trying to track down, I'm pretty sure Patton Oswalt has been on Adventure Time. Don't quote me on it, I haven't found a source yet, but I'm actually looking for it because I know it's out there. Another one I think I've mentioned before, Jonathan Katz,
yes,
did a guest appearance on Adventure Time. It was the episode where they were dealing with the fishes who are being chased after by some horrific monster, a toad.
Right, right.
And he played their king. It was his voice, because I used to watch his show, Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, on Comedy Central when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I recognized that voice. But online, I identified some voices that are actually fairly obvious, and a few that you might not have known were there. For example, in the Fiona and Cake, gender swap episodes.
Oh, yes.
Prince Gumball is actually voiced by Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh!
And along the same vein, Marshall Lee, the male version of Marceline, right, is voiced by Community's Donald Glover.
Oh!
Yeah, also known as the rap star Childish Gambino.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some interesting ones there. There's some others that are a little more obscure, like, let's see, not too obscure, but another one that bears mentioning is George Takei plays the voice of the heart guy, Ricardio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Ricardio even looks like
him. Yeah, they did that. George. They were blatant about that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, some of the more obscure ones are...
And anytime George Takei does anything on cartoons, you have to have like, oh my.
Because that's how the guy is. Yeah.
I remember on the Teen Titans 1 hour episode... Trouble in Little Tokyo. He was the police sergeant or the police captain.
And did he do it?
And of course he did.
The
oh
thing.
My!
Yeah, he did the thing.
Yeah, he did the thing.
But yeah, there's some other more obscure voices too, like Billy the Wizard.
Yeah.
If you listen closely, you may recognize Billy as the man I interviewed, Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, I find him recognizable. That's what you know.
Yeah, there's that. There is an obscure one. Another obscure one, and I didn't even know this until I actually did the research. Have either of you ever heard of a punk band by the name of Black Flag?
No, not for me.
The Black Flag is something I keep under my sink to get rid of the cockroaches.
They took the name from that. Well, yes. They are a seminal punk band from the 80s. They, I believe, were kind of born and bred in the Washington area, and they are well known as one of the greatest punk bands of all time. And one of their lead singers, again, another prolific artist in his own right, was a man named Henry Rollins. This guy, he's kind of short, but he's very well-built, covered in tattoos, and I actually have, I'm a fan of his work, I've spoken with him, I've exchanged letters with him. He's very intense, very, minimalist, just no-nonsense kind of guy, but he... In terms of acting, he'll try anything. He likes to challenge himself.
Good.
Well,
like
Henry Rollins did the voice of Bob Rainicorn.
Oh, my
Lady
God.
Lady Rainicorn's daughter. So, see.
Awesome.
Envisioning him in my head. I have to go back and watch that episode now to listen to his voice, because envisioning him as a rainbow unicorn, just, again, knowing him in his work as I do, it just makes me so laugh. So that's another obscure one. Another one for people who are fans of like stand-up comedy and whatnot.
Yeah.
Wildberry Princess, who's been on the show more than one occasion, is voiced by Maria Bamford. And she, again, she's a well-known female stand-up comedian, and she's just a treasure. She's very goofy. She had I believe a web show for a while, the Maria Bamford Show, which detailed her fictional nervous breakdown and how she was living with her parents and trying to get her career back. But she's just an adorable human being, and I love her to pieces. And she has a very unique voice, so she can do that very high-pitched sort of thing and just make it work really well.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, okay. She can nail that. So that's Wildberry Space Princess. And a little trip down memory lane, for those of you who used to watch Nickelodeon in the 90s, you might recognize... the name Toby Huss, and if you don't, let me try something else on you. You might recognize the name instead. Archie, the strongest man in the world.
Yes,
oh boy.
Toby Huss did a voice on Adventure Time of the character Boo Boo. He's this kind of blue orb thing. I haven't actually seen the episode he's been on, but Toby Husman. I grew up watching The Adventures of Pete and Pete. So anytime you hear me call someone my Viking, that's from Archie, the Strongest Man in the World.
Pete and Pete was a good show.
Okay, yeah. Yes. This is so awesome, and it has to be randomly thrown in here. Cartoon Network has a wiki.
Really?
CartoonNetwork.wikia.com. Okay. I'm going to play on here. You guys keep going.
Yes. Yeah, I'll take a couple more fun cameos, and then we'll move on. Let's see. Who else has been on the show that's interesting? Paul Rubens was the ruler gnome, who I believe is a villain on the show at one point. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking for the name of the character. There's a character on the show called the Cuber. They've done a couple of episodes at least where he's like this storytelling character that shows an episode of Adventure Time and you have to guess the theme.
Oh, yes. You come here for more Greebles.
Yes, you come here for more Greebles, have you? And that is actually voiced by Emo Phillips.
Oh.
And to bring it all together, do you remember the episode where Jake had his croak dream?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a character in that episode, the Banana Man with the space helmet.
Yes.
Well, that character was voiced by everyone's favorite parody meister, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh my
You're
god!
You're kidding!
Weird Al and Emo, they fit together because they were both in UHF. They're very good friends.
Oh yeah, UHF was a fun movie.
Banana Man was actually in two episodes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Croak Dream was the first one,
I didn't know that. So yeah, and another one which bears mentioning just because it's so freaking cool is The Lich.
Yes.
He's voiced by an awesome guy. Think about the Lich's voice.
Yeah.
And can you guess who that might be? I mean, think about actors with a voice like that who, like, play a scary character.
There's so many of them, hon.
I don't know.
Ron Perlman.
Oh, awesome.
And he did the voice of the Lich.
Hellboy and the Beast.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, and actually in the Michael Dorn vein, he actually did a voice on Adventure Time. He played the character Gork. And he is a little green blob with a giant eyeball.
Ah.
So he's done an episode of Adventure Time. And, yeah, we have Lou Frigno's Billy. Biz Markie did a voice, Snorlock. And it's not a character I've actually seen.
Oh, it's a big slug.
Yes.
We just saw that episode, in fact.
Okay. Yeah, so that was Biz Markie, the rapper. And that's just a few of the, like I said, random but amazing guest voices you have probably heard on the show and not even known it. Andy Samberg did a character called Party Pat, like a bear.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So Andy,
they were in the stomach of a big giant monster. Yeah. Yes.
That was really bizarre.
And Death on the Show is done by Miguel Ferrer. He's known for his role on Twin Peaks as the FBI agent Albert Rosenfield, and he's a character actor that's done a lot of work in various other places.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's just a few of, like, the really awesome guest spots that have been on Adventure Time. If you really listen, you can catch some amazing voices on that show.
Yeah.
And if there's any voices that you have caught, please feel free to let us know, and we will add it to our little directory of what I like to call voice bombs, you know?
Yes.
When people photobomb, well, these are voice bombs. You never see them coming. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents on Adventure Time. I just thought it was so cool that you could just watch the show and just, boom, out of nowhere. Oh, my God, they're doing the voice on that show? I just thought it kind of...
That is cool when that happens.
Yeah, I just think it's fun to talk about. So, yeah, that was my 2 cents I wanted to share on Adventure Time.
Well, you learn a lot on the wiki because I'm reading about the Lich here, and it says he came into being near the end of the Mushroom War via a mutagenic bomb. So I'm guessing this is the big war that destroyed our civilization. But it says he was defeated and imprisoned by Billy. And
yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
I've actually heard some allusions to that in some of Billy's episodes before he died.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting.
Oh, and I recently found out something about Adventure Time that has to make me correct something I said before. A couple episodes ago when we were talking about cartoons, I was mentioning that Ed, Edd n Eddy were the last Cell animated cartoon.
Yeah.
That Cartoon Network does. Actually, Adventure Time is Cell animated.
Really?
So I guess they went back to that form for this particular show. And that's why that animation looks so much different than the other shows right now.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it does kind of fit the style.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my 2 cents on Adventure Time. And then in terms of premieres, the other one that came on was a regular show. Now, did we have one or two new regular show episodes this time around?
I think since we talked about this...
Two. Yeah, we had the one where... Death's child comes back. What the heck is that creature's name?
Thomas.
Thomas. Thomas. Thomas is Michael Dorn's voice.
Yes, that's the other one.
Yeah, we've had that one, and we just had the one about the what was it called? Something or liar.
Expert or liar.
Expert or liar.
Okay, so I've seen both of those episodes. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So you're caught up. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty caught up. Those are very cute. I have to admit, I really love CJ.
I like Cloudy J. I hope they don't get rid of her, even if they bring Margaret back.
I see disaster coming.
I just recently saw the episode where Margaret and Mordecai were in the friend zone.
Yes.
And so I finally saw that episode. Finally saw them holding hands.
Yes.
I am far more emotionally invested in anthropomorphic animals and clouds than I really am. It's a problem.
But you know what? Margaret's dad is awesome.
Yes.
And the Man in Ball episode is one of my favorites.
I just saw that again recently. Man in Ball.
Man in Ball. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So I guess that's our Cartoon Network premiere review.
Well, insanity. You know, I mean, if CJ does break up with Mordecai, maybe she could date Mr. Small from Gumball.
It's always possible.
Don't get me started on crossovers. There's some great potential
and
there.
I love the fact that that Rigby and Eileen are finally spending some time together.
Yeah.
I was actually telling Awful Husband about this earlier when he was bringing me over here.
Yeah.
I want that to be a thing. I want just very quietly, just no fanfare, no buildup. One day I want Eileen and Rigby to appear on screen together, and she's like, okay, well, I'll see you guys later. Kisses him on the cheek, and he kisses her back, and she leaves, and Mordecai just stares at him. And Rigby's like, what? He's like, you and Eileen just stop talking!
Yeah.
And it's like a running gag. Each member of the park staff discovers it. They're like, you and Eileen, stop talking! Just like very quietly, they're together because, another thing I want.
I know this is a cute thing on the wiki. I'm looking at Amazing World of Gumball.
Uh-huh.
And it says here, when Cartoon Network Development Studio Europe was created in 2007... Ben Bokelet was hired in order to help people pitch their ideas to the network. However, when the studio decided to have its employees all pitch their own ideas, he decided to take some of the rejected characters he had created for commercials, put them all in one series with a school setting.
Oh, that was so diverse.
And the vice president of original series and development at Turner Broadcasting UK liked the idea, and the series was ultimately greenlit.
Oh, that is so cool.
So I know we always joke about Hollywood, and somebody told me recently, Hollywood always rehashes stuff because the people there are just financial people. They have no imagination of their own. But when they see a potential like this, you got to know they see, okay, they must have some sense of humor buried in there somewhere and some creative spark to look at the Gats for Gumball and go, oh, okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So I love it.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so going to get lost in here. We need to move on.
Well, speaking of creative endeavors, another thing we were going to talk about today is, of course, the main field of expertise for our Awful Husband, Lego. So
Lego,
give us the wide
Lego,
world of Lego,
Lego,
Awful Husband.
Well, I was in the Lego store at the Topanga Canyon Westfield Mall.
Oh boy, you got out of your pen again, huh?
Yeah, that's why there's no money left in our account right now.
Oh man, Corsair, I need to go visit a bank.
But they have released three more sets from the Lego Movie. One of them is Benny's spaceship, you know, this classic spaceship from the classic series back in the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
But what caught my real attention is they have an Ecto-1 Ghostbusters.
You know what? I actually heard about this on another podcast, Hollywood Babylon, with Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I'm always going to pimp them because I love their show. they had a fan who wrote into their show, you know, that listens to them all the time. Lego does this thing where they let fans submit ideas for collector sets, and if they like it, they'll actually manufacture it.
This is so cute.
This fan of Hollywood Babylon, he said, I'm a Ghostbusters fan, I submitted an idea, and now they're going to be producing it as of the airing of the episode I was listening to. You know, it'll come out in June. And now, according to what you told me earlier, this set has already sold out.
Yes, I went there.
Oh, man.
There's only the display in the window. There's no sets in.
So, yeah, this was just a everyday person submitted this idea, and it's being produced by Lego.
They started doing this a couple of years ago, what you were saying about fans building something and then producing it. One of the first ones was for their castle system.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Like a little inn that you could open up and had the inn inside and all that, and the kitchen and all that. And from then on, once in a while, somebody will submit something. They also have the Lego Creator Program,
uh-huh,
where you can go online, or it's called Lego Factory.
You can go online and create your own set. And once you're done, you push a button, and it will tell you how many pieces are in there, how much it'll cost you, and they'll send it to you in a box with a picture of your set on it.
That is like the best use of the internet ever.
And when you do that, it saves it, and anybody can go online and look at all the creations that have been made by other people.
Wow.
So if you happen to find something somebody else
made, so
you
cool.
can order it.
That is so. I want an Egyptian temple. I've always wanted an Egyptian temple.
And once in a while, they'll look at that and go, this is a good one, and they'll make it as an original set.
They'll mass produce it.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Okay, I'm looking at the Lego figures for Ghostbusters, and Egon is hot. His hair is wild.
Jimmy had it right, baby.
His hair is wild.
That's the only one they're missing. They don't have a Janine.
He's got nerd glasses. I like it.
And a Slimer. They need a Slimer.
Yeah, yes, of course they need a Slimer.
They need a little Lego Slimer.
So hopefully this will lead to a second set.
But they do a Slimer, they're going to have to do a Lumpy Space Princess. And they'll have to take it and turn it purple.
Yeah.
By the way, did we lose her?
I'm pretty sure we lost her. Let me check the door. Elsa.
Uh-huh.
Close that door.
No.
Before she sees us.
Yes. Close it. Close it. Okay, TARDIS, shift the rooms, please. Quick.
Hope she should get lost in the hallway.
Okay, I think it's quiet again.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay, we're good.
Shifted in time. Thank you, TARDIS. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, dear.
You know, actually, if we can go out like behind the curve on that, the original Ghostbusters series that went from 1986 to 1991, six seasons, there was a controversy about the name of the show.
Oh, really?
Yes, because back in the 70s, Filmation, you remember Filmation? I think they did the Star Trek animated. They had a show, a live-action show. This is in the time of Sid and Marty Krofft, and they had all their live-action shows, so that was not unusual. They had a show called The Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay.
And it starred Forrest Tucker and...
Oh, my God! That was Sergeant O'Rourke, right?
Yes! And Agarn.
Larry Storch?
Forrest Tucker and Larry Storch.
Oh, my God. I love Storch. He was funny.
Those two together were a great comedy team. They did some TV movies together and stuff like that. But they did a show called The Ghostbusters for Filmation. And it was a detective agency, Ghostbuster Detective Agency. It was called Spencer Tracy and Kong.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And Tracy was actually a gorilla. That's what the guy in the gorilla suit. But the whole thing was that they had this giant camera-like thing, and they'd find the ghost at the end of the episode, and they'd click the camera, and the ghost would be sucked in the camera. The show didn't last very long.
Okay.
But when the movie Ghostbusters was a hit, Filmation wanted to bring this back as a cartoon and call it Ghostbusters. Well, at the same time, Columbia Pictures with DIC Entertainment wanted to bring the movie The Ghostbusters to TV. So they both had a legal right to the name Ghostbusters.
Oh, gads.
God.
What a mess.
And it actually went to court.
Oh, man.
And what the judge decided was the Filmation version could be the original Ghostbusters, while the Columbia Pictures one could be the real Ghostbusters.
That was a smart judge.
Yes.
That's actually a very clever compromise.
And I don't know how long the original Ghostbusters lasted. It was like a season or two. I watched a couple episodes. Didn't really catch me. They made them younger kids, because Larry Storch, you know, they weren't young. They were middle-aged. So they made them younger kids, cartoon version. They had like this time-traveling car. This kind of like a Model A kind of open cockpit thing, you know, the convertible. But I don't think it lasted long. Of course, the real Ghostbusters lasted 6 years and did 147 episodes.
Wow.
But they had some really good comedy lines in there. You know, higher than what you'd think kids would understand.
Oh, okay.
Like that one day, Egon was sitting somewhere and this real goofy guy passed by. He just makes a comment, must have evolved from the shallow end of the gene pool.
Is that where that comes from? I love that line.
Yeah.
I've used that line for forever.
Oh, fun.
So, anyway, wow. Getting back to what we were talking about, the Lego. Lego also made a time-traveling DeLorean.
Oh, my God, a Lego DeLorean?
Yes, and it comes with a Marty McFly and a Doc Brown.
Oh, my God!
And it's customizable. You can make one of three versions of the car from either one of the three movies.
Oh, my God!
You know, the regular car, it's as a DeLorean.
Yeah.
from the first movie. The second movie, the wheels turn down so it can fly.
Yeah, so it can fly. And then the third
and,
one...
And the third one has that box of circuits and,
yeah.
And vacuum tubes on the front, you know, where you're trying to get back to work.
Yeah,
again.
Oh my
so
God.
So you can make it either version you want.
Wow.
So. Oh, that is so amazing.
Yes, it is. It is. It's too much
so that's
cartoony
the newest,
goodness.
Things from Lego, and I'm really surprised. I'm really excited about that.
Okay,
if we're going behind the curve, there's a couple other things we could do here. Do you want to take a Mad Woman, or do you want me to do the next?
I can take it briefly, because I'm actually not too far into it yet. I do have a behind the curve going on. Recently, the first season of Young Justice made its way to Netflix, and so I've been checking it out. I'm not that far into it, but, yeah, I'm having a lot of emotions, and I don't know how to cope with them, and Superboy may be killing me with his angsty clone man pain. Angsty teenage clone man pain.
Angsty teenage clone man pain. That is very complex.
Yeah, it's just, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I kept trying to watch it when it was during its original run, and I never could catch a whole episode, but I liked what I saw. And I actually follow one of the artists from the comic book that is based on, off the show, and he does some amazing work. So I want to, like, read the comics now and everything, but I just got to the episode where they brought in Artemis.
Ooh.
And I'm very intrigued. I like her. She's sassy. And Kid Flash has got a mouth on him, and I like that. And Superboy with his angsty teenage clone man pain. And Robin, I'm loving Robin. I'm having a real problem with my... my DC emotions, because I've been really getting into it recently. Like I said a few episodes back, a friend turned me on to the Jason Todd story arc with the Red Hood and his run as Robin, and it's just been like a downward spiral from there. I'm even going back and pulling up some old digital issues of DC Comics that friends gave me a long time ago for various role-playing games I'm in, so I could familiarize myself with their characters. And so I'm rereading like the year one origin story arc of Helena Bertinelli, the Huntress.
Mm.
And that's some good stuff. Like, she came from, like, a mob family and everything. It's very cool. She's more definitely kind of, like, think Batman, only not as friendly. If
wow.
you can call Batman friendly.
Yeah.
She's, like, very aggressive and violent and stuff. She's more along the same vein as Jason Todd, only I think Jason Todd is more, I think he's angrier, he's wilder, he's a little more volatile than she is. She's very calculating. Jason, he's just like, he's like this little ball of, you know, his own angsty teenage man pain, so, but a different kind of man pain from Superboy's man pain. I love the man pain, it speaks to me, I enjoy it. So, yeah, I'm enjoying Young Justice so far, and I'm really hoping that season 2 shows up soon, because these episodes are only, like, 20, 25 minutes long, so I'm going to finish this thing, like, maybe by tonight.
Yeah.
And I need more. I need lots more. And I know that there's not lots more, because Cartoon Network canceled it, but...
And Green Lantern, which is one of my favorites on Saturday.
Yeah, that's another one I need to start watching, but Young Justice, and Superboy, and Robin, and the Justice League, and Martian Manhunter, and... So... Yeah, definitely enjoying that. Check it out if you've never seen it. Like I said, it's on Netflix right now. The episodes, I would be surprised if they run 25 minutes. So it would be easy.
Yeah, commercials, that'd be about
yeah,
right.
It would be easy. If you have a spare hour or two, you could probably marathon damn near the entire first season. And it's just, it's wonderful. The characters are delightful. The voice acting is great. The animation is beautiful. And now I need to go out and read the comics, too, because of reasons. And, yeah. Give me season 2, Netflix. Give it to me now. Once. So, that's my behind the curve on Young Justice. And if we have more time later, I can go into the other DC comics I've been reading in more detail. But, aside from that, you guys have something to talk about, which is not behind the curve. It's actually pretty darn current. And since it's something I'm planning on seeing, you need to tell me all about it.
And, you know, I hate doing this without spoilers. Because we have been waiting for How to Train Your Dragon 2 for so long! And they've already blown the big secret, which is... And everybody knows this, so don't sit there and throw rotten tomatoes at us, because you already know. But if you haven't, get off the podcast right now and come back in 10 minutes. But that Hiccup's mother returns.
Yes.
She's on the commercials. So yes. Unless you're living under a rock, don't say we didn't warn you because you've already seen this. So I have three words to describe this that will be spoiler free. Glorious and gutting.
Oh, gutting doesn't sound good.
No.
I'll tell you, I cried a lot through this movie. Some are happy tears, some are sad tears, and some are tears of just being amazed, like the flight scenes.
Oh, the flights are gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, you just love the emotion to see some of the flight scenes and how Hiccup and Toothless just react and they're best friends and... It's just amazing to watch.
Yeah, I love the way they banter, like, on the commercial and stuff. Are you patting Nanny, big baby?
I
love their relationship. I can't wait to see it. I'm hoping I'll get a chance, because my, you know, anyone who pays attention to the personal side of things, my father is coming home from the skilled nursing facility tomorrow, so don't know if I'm going to have a lot of free time coming up. But
we'll get you there.
Yeah.
It'll still hit a second chance theater. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do want to try and see it in 3D because of the flying stuff. Like, I know a lot of times in 3D or IMAX 3D, the flight stuff, you really feel the motion. That's why I go to see the Spider-Man movies in IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
I can feel him swinging and it's like, woo! Woo!
Yeah, you do kind of get that woo feeling from it.
But yeah, like the falling sensation. Yeah. I love that.
But if they bring back How to Train Your Dragon on, actually called Dragon Riders of
Defenders
of Berk, which they may actually change that part of the title. First season, what was that called?
Riders of Berk.
Riders of Berk. That was Defenders of Berk. I don't know what the next one's going to be called, but if they return to Cartoon Network, they have to change a main character. They have to change a couple of them. Yeah. And,
we can't tell you anything. Yeah. Well, I mean, it could go two ways. It could continue on between the first and second movie. Which they wouldn't have to change much, but if they want to continue from the point on from this movie...
Oh, they got to do some radical changes.
Wow.
And
it's
hard to watch, but it makes sense dramatically, and you just move on. What can you do? Yeah, but it was fabulous.
I can't wait to see this movie! I need this in my life because of reasons!
Yes, you do. You do.
Oh, God.
So, since we're kind of on the animation kick here, I think we have one more thing to talk about animation-wise. So let's turn this over to the awful husband to talk about what's going on Toonami.
Oh, there is one thing I wanted to mention. I've been watching a new Toonami show. It's been on for 7 episodes now called Attack on Titan.
I've actually seen commercials for this, and last night I caught part of an episode before I finally passed out.
It is really intense.
It's
a little bloody for me.
There was one scene I watched that really disturbed me. It was like a group of them in a room or something, and it looked like they were getting something ready. It's like, you know, there we go, we're all done, and they were just preparing a gun. And I'm not going to talk.
Oh,
about
I know
what
you're talking. I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, it was. That was very.
That's the one where he says that button gun's not going to stop. The,
That was really disturbing.
Well,
was it because it was graphic?
Just
implied.
Implied.
Yeah, implied. They avoided the blood and guts and gore, but the implied thing was extremely
disturbing.
That's
one thing this show does very good. It implies gore.
Okay.
It doesn't... I mean, you know what happens.
Yeah, but they don't actually show
you. You'll see blood dripping down, but you won't see...
Sometimes that's worse to have it run around in your imagination.
Yeah, like I said, it was very disturbing. Just the impact of what happened.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, first of all, I love Japanese anime and their science fiction because they take on different topics or different slants that with the American psyche we wouldn't tackle or we just wouldn't think of.
Yeah, like with Death Note, righteous justice, do we have the death penalty?
Right. And that's another good example, because we don't have the Shinigami culture that they have. It's not part of our folklore. But with this is a planet. We don't know what planet it is, but it doesn't matter. See, in America, we'd say, it has to be on Earth. But with them, it's just a planet. We just take that for granted. But 100 years ago, when the show starts, these giants, these titans, which are about, they're humanoid, but they're about 100 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that part at the beginning.
When we started the series, there are these giant walls that keep them out. And they've kept them out for 100 years, these walls around the city. And in the first episode, these giants break through the wall and they eat people.
Yeah.
And the people in the town realize they've been kept as cattle.
Oh, God.
And they're concentric walls. There's the big wall around the city, around the whole
village, and then a smaller one, and a small one. So they break through the first wall, and about 20% of the population has been eaten.
Has become lunch.
Yes.
Yeah. Or dinner.
And so what we're doing is we're following these warriors that are trying to stop them. And that's where a lot of the blood and guts go, because they're getting wiped out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I said, they're 100 feet tall. And they're pretty mindless. They're not intelligent. You know, they're just basically animals, and they're kind of slow moving, but they're so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just watching what I did last night, it was very intense.
I'm not watching this. I can think of better things to do with my time. I would rather do jewelry and listen to nice, peaceful New Age music. I don't want to see cannibalism. Thank you very much.
But we're in the part of the series where it's very depressing. You know, for 2 years, there wasn't too many attacks. And this is when our main characters joined. So 2 years later, they're now part of the force. And then they're attacked again. And the first wall is broken down.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people have been eaten. And the army is losing to these guys. And everything's very depressed. And that's where we are right now. So we haven't picked up where we're seeing any hope yet. So that's where we stand.
Yeah.
That's some hardcore stuff, dude.
It is.
What's interesting, I think I saw this on the Krypton radio feed, is this is so popular in Japan that they're already making a live-action movie of it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Live-action. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
So,
my opinion, I don't know if I'm going to be catching this anymore in the future. I would rather sit and marathon Young Justice on Netflix. So... if I'm gonna get my feet wet in anime, I think I'm gonna.
Oh no, we got better stuff. If you like the very intense stuff, that's really like two chess masters at real life. Death Note. We have got to show you Death Note.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about anime at all.
Death Note will leave you on the edge of your seat at the end of every episode.
There's one that I've heard of. It's Vampire Hunter or...
Oh, Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah.
That's kind of bloody.
That's
I don't think
one.
It says intelligent. Yeah.
And I've heard of another one, maybe it's a video game, called Hellsing.
Hellsing is worse, actually, than I think the Vampire Hunter.
Well, I'm introducing my favorite, Read or Die. That's not as bloody at all.
You've actually shown me at least one episode of that. And that one,
my all-time favorite anime.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of need to go back and forth.
Yeah, I've seen one episode of that, and I wouldn't mind seeing another one. That one was very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, are we done on those topics?
Of anime and tsunami?
I think we're good on that.
Yeah,
we got other stuff to talk about, like...
Yeah, our trip to San Luis Obispo.
Yes, tell me all about it. How was your little vacation?
It was fantabulous.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a vacation you just went to relax. It wasn't the con. You know, we had no schedules to keep or anything like that, or things we had to see at a certain time. It was just a relaxing vacation. And there are tons of good food up there. I become kind of a foodie.
Aww.
I mean, when I go on vacation, the first thing I do is go to the Cartoon Network, Food Network website, and see if they've got any restaurants up there.
Yeah.
They hadn't, but they still had lots of good restaurants
We have a long history of going there, because we went there for our wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Our honeymoon. Every year, about that time of year, before, we had to quit this about 4 years ago, of going to Obispo. So we've watched that town go through a lot of years, not necessarily a lot of change, because they're very resistant to developers getting in there and ruining it, but it's beautiful up there.
There's one development in the downtown area that they put a Barnes & Noble in, and a couple of restaurants and shops. Yeah. But outside of that, it's mostly older buildings and very historic.
It's Cal Poly University is up there, and they have a lot of young people, and they've started something now. Thursday night, they have a farmer's market. They shut down the main street through downtown, and for like four blocks, they've got farmer's market, they've got local businesses, and there are like a million people there. And it was so nice, because we showed up on Thursday just in time for the farmer's market.
And there's about four or five restaurants that have barbecue right there on the street.
Oh, nice.
That is a barbecue town, I'll tell you.
Oh,
if you want barbecue...
It's cattle country is the thing. It goes all the way back to the ranchos of the 1800s. And, a rancho would have like 50,000 head of steer. And the funniest thing ever that Dennis has ever said in our entire marriage. We're driving along. I don't remember who's driving, if it was you or me.
I think it was you.
We're driving along and we look across, side of the road, and there's some steer there. And Dennis says...
Oh, look, a herd of burgers.
A herd of burgers.
Oh, God.
Just came out.
That's perfect. I'm remembering that.
And you know those they're kind of like trailers where they'll have them out on the street and they slap all the meat on there and they're like rolling barbecues.
Yeah.
They had one of those. We woke up our last morning there, opened the door, and in front of our front door there is a
portable barbecue pit.
A herd of burgers on the barbecue.
It was burgers. It was chickens. Ribs.
Ribs. Big
sausages.
Big ribs.
You are aware that you're making me hungry, right?
Just being in that town, you're hungry.
Wow.
You know, we couldn't help it. It was just amazing and out of control.
They just had awesome food.
Oh, and the breakfasts. We found the best thing ever for breakfast.
What?
It is a mac and cheese omelet.
A macaroni and cheese omelet.
Yes. And it was incredibly
good. White cheddar mac and cheese wrapped inside an omelet.
It was incredible.
It was at the Apple Farm. If you ever go up to San Luis Obispo, you have to stop at the Apple Farm.
With green onions, and the mac and cheese, the cheddar gives it a little bit of creaminess, and not much taste to it, but it's enough creaminess and cheesiness, and then they put the onion in there. Oh, I just
if
died.
I am ever
so
able to travel again, I'm pretty sure that there are some dog shows that take place up in San Luis Obispo.
Oh, you must.
I will
you
have
must.
To check it out. I'll have to deal with the dog show.
There are signs that says get off of Monterey Street. You do that, it's right there. You can't miss it. But it's absolutely beautiful.
It's, yes,
and it's all very country, small country town.
And we have a surprise for you because the food is amazing.
Oh, really?
We brought back something that we're getting a live reaction here, folks, on air.
Oh, yeah, this is like a surprise. I have no idea what's going on right now.
Yeah,
this is weird.
We stopped.
I'm scared. Hold me. Yes.
We stopped at Madonna Inn, which is well known for, it's built literally into a hillside.
Uh-huh.
They blasted out the granite rock there because Mr. Madonna built most of the roads between Paso Robles and San Jose.
Uh-huh.
He built the bridge, the famous bridge over Big Sur, which is a span bridge that goes down like hundreds of feet to the Pacific Ocean. And his wife loves pink.
Okay, yeah,
and now
we have a box that I'm looking
we are
at here.
You're revealing.
Oh my God!
The cake from hell.
That is champagne cake. It's all pink.
It's pink and yellow with big pieces of like frosting
These
stuff
huge
on it.
Curls. Big pink curls.
Enormous curls.
That is.
We have some pictures we'll put in there.
That is the most garish looking thing I've ever seen.
That's Mrs. Madonna
this
for
is
you.
A small one.
Wow. Listeners, this is like a big freaking piece of cake. It's like a thing, and wow.
About 6 inches tall, yeah.
Wow.
And it tastes incredible.
We better keep this. We better make sure Lumpy Space Princess doesn't catch on to this.
Oh, don't say her name.
Oh,
her
God.
Name. I don't want the TARDIS to get the idea. We even actually want that purple noxious cloud in here.
Yeah.
They actually make this now in a 4-sheet sheet cake size for $250.
Oh, wow.
And we were there and there were people going out with like 4-sheet cakes.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. No, that is like...
Yeah, you order this a day ahead. The bakery makes it in the morning. And when you walk in there, like we did for lunch, there's like 10 of these cakes, darn more, waiting for people to pick them
and
up.
They come in like 3 sizes, aside from the sheet cake size.
Yeah,
you know,
wow.
Oh.
But it's awesome.
But it's really good. You must have a taste. And
I will have to take a taste of that when we go off the air.
Yes.
But...
Yes, so Slow Trip was amazing. I hit a local bead store. There was an amazing lace store up there, and... And as you know, as the day is long, I'm going to get a mention of cosplay in here if it kills me. There's a store up there, and it's I think it's called. Let's see. Can you hand me that bag of lace over there? I think it's got the lace that's purple in it. No, the purple in it. There you go.
Yeah.
See,
don't forget us the closet
bag. Yes, thank you. Okay, this bag here, which oh, it doesn't have the name on it. Oh well. I think it's called Lena B Designs by Lena B. It's a place that has antique lace in there. What these people do is they go to defunct warehouses in the United States, and this woman buys out their inventory because everything now is all garbage out of China. It's all manufactured, and it's not hand-woven. They just don't get stuff from, like, France or England or the United States anymore. That is the quality of what used to be very old stuff. And they go in there to these factories that have been put out of business by China, and they go and they buy their entire warehouse. They have a store on eBay. I think it's called Lena B Designs. I'm going to look it up. I'll put the link in the show notes. She told me that the movie industry costumers are always contacting her and buying tons of their stuff because it's about the only place left in the United States. This is very sad. That they can actually get stuff to make authentic period costumes.
Wow.
When I was there, they had these, they call them flower picks, and they're basically like silk flowers and or leaves or fruit that are on a little stick so that you can put them in the hats or, you know, make things out of them. They had authentic flower picks from Japan from the 1940s.
Wow.
In the 1930s. Yeah. They were gorgeous, but they're like $8 for like one leaf or one flower, and they had tons of them. This place is gorgeous. I picked up a couple of samples. I have some fringe that I want to put on a parasol, and it's just amazing stuff. And she says they get contacted by costumers all the time. I had a friend come in, or somebody came in, and they had a friend who is a costumer out of Hollywood, and she called her up right away and said, "Oh my God, I'm in Morro Bay. There's a store here. You know, do you want the link? Because it's got tons of authentic old time lace." So.
Wow, that's incredible.
A gorgeous place. And they offer stuff online that they don't when you walk in the store. But they're pretty friendly, and it's just, boy, you're really going to pay about anywhere from about $5 or $6 a foot to up to $25 to $40 a foot. Because it's just discontinued stuff. You can't get anywhere else.
Wow-wee.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of parasols, I've been experimenting with actually recovering a parasol. It's coming along okay. My first try was pretty decent. But I have a commission this week. I'm going to teach a local person. I know she doesn't listen to the podcast, but hi, Marcia. Thank you for the business. We're going to squirrel off to a local place undisclosed. And I'm going to give her a private lesson in making a Mae West parasol.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Actually, I can throw in one more cosplay-related thing, sort of, or at least a crafty thing. Recently, a friend of mine turned me on to a website. She was talking about, I just blew a bunch of money on this website. I was like, well, what is it? It was for yarn. She said, okay, I warned you, when you go broke on this website, remember, I warned you about it. She gave me the link. Nerdgirlyarns.com.
Oh,
and
cool.
I took a look at this website, and you get these hanks of yarn. They're a little on the pricey side, but I'm going to show you my tablet here. This one is called Blue Box Exploding. And it's...
Oh, I must have it.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got that. We've got...
Yes, it looks like the TARDIS, the Van Gogh.
Yeah. We have Boy with the Demon Blood, that's a Supernatural reference.
Wow.
We have Can't Take the Sky from Me, which is a Firefly reference.
Yes. That looks like a TARDIS blue. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very spacey looking. There's another one here from Doctor Who, Are You My Mummy?
which is mostly kind of brown.
Yeah, a lot of neutral earth tone colors. And Beginning to Damage My Calm, that's another Firefly reference.
Oh.
It's a lot of assorted colors. It's kind of a reference to River Tam. So I can kind of see why.
I send me that link. I want the blue box exploding. I don't have a plan, but I will by the time I get it.
Yeah.
I must have.
Me too. It's the same thing. I don't know what I'm making, but I know I need to have this.
Yeah.
Because of reasons.
Yeah.
So, reasons that are relevant to my life.
Yes. Really. Absolutely. A couple other quick things because we're like mega running out of time here.
Oh, okay.
When we were in Obispo, there's this local store called, actually it's called Betty's Fabrics. And it was out of the way, and in all the time I've been up at San Luis Obispo, I never saw this store. It has tons and tons and tons and tons of fabric, and I think they must have bought out Beverly Fabrics, which is the one downtown. They're mostly crafting stuff now, and they really cut down by about maybe a third to a half of what they had in fabric, and it all went over to Betty's Fabrics. Wonderful store. A lot of it, yeah, is quilting fabric, but they had some beautiful stuff there. I'd want to make a parasol out of every quilting fabric they had. It's insane. And really pretty stuff. But at Beverly Crafts, I found something that I've been talking about this off and on for about a year. They brought back a Spirograph set.
Spirograph!
I have one.
I was a very deprived child. I didn't get to have a Spirograph when I was a kid. I had to play with other kids' Spirographs. Yeah. I didn't have my own Spirograph.
I'm hurting for you.
I was very deprived. Aww.
Now, does anybody maybe out there remember Super Spirograph?
The Super Spirograph was the one I used.
I got to play
with that at other kids' houses. Everybody had the Super Spirograph.
Yes.
And I got to play with those, and I never even got the regular Spirograph. I didn't get to have it because my parents thought I would break it or lose the pieces.
It doesn't matter because
playing with them, you will
have it and you will love it. It was fantastic, and I've already started to kind of play with it. I'm going to play with it on Thursdays because it's a retro thing and I'm totally in love with it.
There you go.
And I put that on my Facebook and so many people said, yes, I had one and I loved it. It is a happy thing and a happy memory.
Now, does anybody remember Spirofoil?
No, I've never heard of that.
It was only out for maybe a year or two, same people, Spirograph. But in this one, you had a little, maybe 4 or 5 inch piece of foil, like gold on one side, silver on the other.
Really?
Uh-huh. And when you put the circle around it, it would imprint a pattern into it, and then you turn it over, and the imprint would be sticking out, and you'd paint within the different colors. So it made a large pattern, and then you'd paint within it.
Kind of like a cloisonné Spirograph.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's really neat.
That is cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're running out of time here.
Okay, quick shout out to 3 stars of Soundless Obispo, Nemo, The Sub, and Cheap Thrills. If you're a nerd or a geek, you have to go to these stores.
Yes.
We will hear more about them next week because we need a review. I did hear.
We'll continue review next week.
Yes. So on that note, and hoping that we can continue to duck the Lumpy Space Princess, I am the Madman with a Box.
I am the Time Siren.
I am the Awful Husband.
Woo, woo, woo.
And I'm looking for the Corsair.
Oh, no.
Come to me, baby.
Where's the bathroom? Oh, what
you can't
that?
Deny you want these lumps.
Hey.
Corsair, help!
Hey, Beavis, that thing is like a big purple fart. Look at it.
It's cool.
Yeah. What is that thing?
Boys, mind your manners. She is a lady.
Don't hit me. I'm a glob.
A lady what?
That's a really good question.
Give me the plunger. It kind of escaped the bathroom.
Okay, I'm out of here.